Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation about the Bell Mansion. In 1893, construction began on Robert and Clara Bell's Romanesque-style mansion in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Robert was a state senator, an investor, and a prominent lawyer. Clara loved the arts and was the co-founder of the Fort Wayne Museum of Art. The Bells ended up selling the home to William K. Noble, whose family lived there for 22 years. And then the home was sold and became a funeral home. It served the Fort Wayne area as the Klon Funeral Home for 93 years. And in that span of time, it's said that between 300 and 500,000 bodies went through its doors. It's also said that many of them still haunt the halls today. But they're in good company because it's believed that Robert and Clara are still in the home as well. Today on The Grave Talks, the Bell Mansion with event coordinator Lindsay Crouch. So, Lindsay, I want to start talking about the Bell Mansion with the history of the Bell Mansion. I think so often when we start there, it helps explain the paranormal things that occur. First off, I want to start by just the looks of the building. It's incredible. And it looks like it's limestone, which
the whole exterior is Indiana limestone.
And they do say that limestone is kind of a conduit for paranormal activity.
You know, the exterior of the building being all of Indiana limestone, it's a Romanesque architecture. So it has all of these faces and gargoyles and just all of these intricate carvings throughout the exterior of the building. And it is just beautiful. I mean, even now, every time I go and I'm just kind of outside looking up at it, I mean, you'll see new details that you hadn't noticed before.
It is gorgeous. And it's so well maintained. You know, it's
very well. That building has been very loved throughout its duration of, you know, being built.
And this goes back. So construction began in 1894.
1893.
Okay. So Robert and Clara Bell were the first, they were the ones who built it.
Yes.
They had been living in Muncie, moved to Fort Wayne, and he must have had some money because this couldn't have been a cheap house to build.
Yeah, he did. So I'll go ahead and give you just like a little backstory on Robert. I feel that he was a very fascinating man. So Robert Bell, he was born in 1844 in Clarksburg, Indiana. The town was actually named after his grandfather. So I have a feeling that money was already prominent with their family. He served in the 8th Indiana Regiment of Volunteers during the Civil War. And then after that, he attended the University of Michigan for law school and returned to Muncie to start practicing law as an assistant to the state attorney general at the time. Him and Clara, they ended up moving up to Fort Wayne in, let's see here, 1871. They were married in 1868, and they moved up here in 1871. They did live in a different residence during the time that the Bell Mansion was being constructed. And when they moved in here, he became a prominent attorney in Fort Wayne. Then he was a senator for 2 terms. And then he was also the president of the Fort Wayne Gas Works Company in the 1880s, 1890s. So he was a huge investor in natural gas in the Fort Wayne and Chicago area.
So guy had some money.
Have some money.
So he was able to afford this really beautiful home. And it's very large. I read, is it 14,000 square feet? Is that what it was originally? Because there was also an addition at one point, I think.
Yeah, the addition took place in 1935 after it had become a funeral home. But it was a grand home before that addition even.
Which kind of surprised me when I read that it became a funeral home. Because where I live, there are a couple places that I think were at one time pretty stately homes, and they turned them into funeral homes. But at 14,000 square feet, that's a ginormous home, and it's a really huge funeral home as well.
Yeah, so it became 15,000 square feet after the addition. Before the addition, I can't remember the exact square footage it was pre-addition days, but I mean, even then it was a very large home, more than enough room for funerals to be held then.
So Robert and Clara, did they live in the home until they were rather elderly and then they sold it to downsize? I mean, but it was only the two of them pretty much. They had a daughter
they lost. They did have a daughter that her name was Bessie. She passed away around 11 months old due to illness. And I believe she had passed away before they moved to Fort Wayne. That I would have to check my facts on. So yeah, it was just them two and then maybe some family members, give or take. But it was a very large home overall just for the two of them. They did have their whole servant staff that also resided in the building.
That always makes me laugh. It's like, there's two of you. Why do you need a servant staff? When you think of all.
And they didn't even share a bedroom. They each had their own room too.
Yeah, that I could see. It's like, you snore.
Yeah.
I'm going on the other wing and I'm going to have my own room. I just, exactly. You know, it's so funny. So many people juggle a million things, you know, kids mm-hmm. and running around and jobs and cleaning. And then there's two people who have a huge home and a servant staff. I always think that's interesting. So then they ended up selling the home to somebody else. So did Robert die in the home then?
He did. So Robert passed away due to pneumonia in 1901. And Clara, she held on to the home until 1904. And then sadly, she had passed away just 2 years after that in 1906. But they sold the house to William K. Noble, and he was an owner of a lumber company that was a multi-state company. I believe it went as far down to Missouri, so Missouri, Michigan, Ohio. And they had lived there for about 20 years, 22 years, and then they sold it to the Clanes in 1926.
And then it became a funeral home.
And that's when it became the funeral home.
And it was a funeral home until for like over 90 years.
Yes. Yep. Until 2018.
So in 2018, they decide it's been a good run. We had 93 mm-hmm. years. And how did then, so they just sold it, and who ended up purchasing it then?
So they ended up putting it for sale. The building sat empty for 2 years, and then the Sturm family bought it. And they had every intention in making it a bed and breakfast. And they had some partners they were working with. They started getting it fully furnished. And then due to it being a historical building and a historical marker of society, they were unable to make it a bed and breakfast because they would have to install sprinkler systems throughout the home. And if you've ever been in the Bell Mansion, the woodwork in there is absolutely incredible. It's all over the ceilings, and they would have had to have torn all of that out. And to preserve its history and the natural beauty of everything, they decided not to make it a bed and breakfast. And now it is an event center and also used for paranormal events as well. It's kind of a multi-faceted facility.
That's so interesting to me, because when I was reading up on the Bell Mansion, I had seen an article, a local news story about them buying it and using it for a bed and breakfast, but I didn't know why they didn't. And that makes sense to me, because I thought, well, couldn't you, it's still such a big space. You could still have a bed and breakfast. You could still do events. There's lots of room for everything.
Yeah.
But the sprinkler system, I wouldn't have thought yeah. about that, but that makes sense.
Yeah, and that would have been a shame to tear out all of that beautiful woodwork.
Oh, and you can't replace it and make it look the same, really. It would really change the integrity
exactly.
of it. So when they bought it, was it in pretty good shape?
Yeah, yeah. But the building has been very well maintained, very well taken care of. And, you know, even with it being a funeral home, I believe that building has just had a lot of love throughout the years. I mean, I think people have really appreciated it for what it is and its beauty and the character that went into it. It's just a beautiful place. You just definitely have to check it out.
When it was a funeral home, were the people who owned it, were they living on site or was it just used as a funeral home?
For years, I believe that they were living on site.
Because it makes sense.
You know, more modern times, I think it just became just for funeral home purposes.
Yeah, maybe after a point, it's like, this is getting to be a depressing place to live.
You would think.
One would think. The new owners, they are, what are their names? The Sterns, did you say?
Sturm. Sturm. Angie Sturm is the one who runs it now.
When she bought it, originally wanted to do it as a bed and breakfast, and then, okay, that doesn't work. Let's do events in a venue, which it looks, I've seen photos, and it's perfect for that. At what point did the paranormal stuff come into play here? Because I can't imagine that was one of the initial things. Well, we'll just do paranormal events here. You got to kind of be in there and realize something else is going on before you can make that leap.
It actually kind of was. It did start out more paranormal. So when they were planning the bed and breakfast, they had also, I mean, obviously things were happening. So they had brought in a paranormal team and that team had investigated for, you know, days and weeks and came up with all of this evidence of things going on. So then they kind of tossed around the haunted bed and breakfast. And, you know, once the bed and breakfast thing kind of fell through, then they decided to pursue it as a paranormal event center. So they hosted some events, like they had Jason Hawes there and some other paranormal celebrities. They do tours, flashlight tours, private investigations for paranormal teams to come in and rent out the building. So yeah, it actually started more in the paranormal field. And then just within this past year, we finally got the wedding, you know, the wedding area up and running. So it's like two completely different fields there. You know, when you go in, it's such a beautiful place. You wouldn't think, oh, I mean, yeah, there's people like me and, you know, paranormal people that are nerds and like, oh, this place is totally haunted. But for the wedding aspect, you go in and it's just so beautiful and classy and you can have that separation at that facility, which is really nice.
Well, and it's not like you're going to have a paranormal investigation going on in the middle of someone's wedding. So I guess if they wanted to.
We're very careful on how we schedule everything.
If they wanted to, as soon as the I do's are said, hand everybody a flashlight and take them on a flashlight tour, I guess that would make it kind of a fun wedding for me. I would enjoy that.
Yeah, I was going to say some people, you never know. You never know what people like.
So I find that interesting that was part of it kind of right off the bat there. The local community, were they kind of like, oh my God, what are they doing over there? Or did people get it?
I think people got it because, you know, the paranormal community as a whole, it's so, I feel nowadays with social media and all the social media platforms, people with the interest in the paranormal field, they're all kind of coming together and finding their little community. We all call ourselves weirdos. You know, we joke around saying, oh, we found our weirdos, you know. But I think for Fort Wayne, there was really nothing like that. You know, there's no other, you know, facilities like that in the area. So when they started advertising for that, people, I think, were like, okay, this is really cool. Let's go check it out. And we get people all the time that aren't believers in the paranormal or they're skeptical, which is great to be skeptical, by the way. But just seeing how people are more interested than what you would really think. Everybody is really receptive to it. It's become a really popular place in Fort Wayne.
I love that. That just makes
me
happy.
It's great.
So let's go into some of the paranormal things because you do events there. I'm going to guess that you rent it out, do overnight investigations as well.
Yep. So people can book it privately or we have public, you know, every Wednesdays and Thursdays, we have our public tours and Saturdays we have public tours. So yeah, it just kind of depends on, you know, where people would like to jump in at and how serious they are with it.
And let's talk about your own personal experiences there. I'm just going to guess because you said something a minute ago about feeling it there. Have you had any experiences yourself? in the Bell Mansion?
Yes. I've had multiple experiences there. Trying to think what one of my very first experiences there is shortly after I became a volunteer. We have what we call resident spirits there. So there's a group of spirits that we're all kind of familiar with. We've all consistently gotten the same names during our investigations with what our equipment's picked up on. There's one little spirit upstairs by the name of Andy. And normally I don't trust children's spirits. I feel, you know, sometimes that could be something a little bit darker because people are more vulnerable with children. So I think people would let their guard down to that. But in this case, I feel that he truly is a child and he is very responsive. So I went up there one night on the third floor and I sat down with some of my equipment and started conducting my own investigation, and just everything I would ask. I mean, he was lighting things up for me and things called REM pods. I'm not sure how familiar you are with those, but, you know, I would ask him a question, and this particular REM pod has four different colors. And I started talking about my own little boy because he's estimated to be the same age as my son, which is four. He's supposed to be 4 to 6 years old. And I asked him if he had a favorite color. And the first one that came up was red that he lit up. And then I said, well, I have a little boy and his favorite color is yellow. And right away, it starts lighting up yellow. So from then on out, every time I asked him to light up yellow, yellow would light up. And if you have any kind of experience with REM pods, like you can't really choose, you know, the color. It depends on how fast you come up on the antenna or how close you get to it. But it's just, that was incredible to me. And obviously I still, as exciting as it is, I still try to remain skeptical, but that was my first big experience. And I thought it was very cool because I did feel very connected with that spirit by the time I left that place. Other things I have seen, I also am a crew member for a TV show called The Ghost Finders that airs on Paraflix. And we were filming there just a few months ago. And we were done filming that night and we were all down in the basement, just some of us crew members and a couple of the cast members. And we were just talking about things paranormal, you know, our experiences, what we were feeling. We could start feeling the energy shift. And I actually saw my very first apparition. But of course, when I look over and see that to my left, everybody heard a noise on the other side of the basement and took off that way. So I look over, I'm like, oh, did you see that? And then everyone's gone. So I go down there to see what they're pursuing. And then a door slams, and the door that slammed was the door that was near the apparition that I had seen. And that was my very first one there that I had ever experienced. So I thought that was really cool. But just on a general note, you always hear footsteps. You hear people walking around. I actually did a podcast with another group from Toledo. They actually came into the Bell and we were doing a podcast on the second floor. We had just finished up and there was four of us in that room. And then you could hear what sounded to be a little kid on the third floor running back and forth. So we go up there to make sure that no one's up there. And sure enough, it's empty. We come back downstairs and we hear the footsteps again. So you get that. You get a lot of footsteps. You hear what sounds to be people going up and down the stairs, especially in the servant's staircase. You hear a lot of muffled conversations. So if you're just down on the first floor and you're really quiet, sometimes it sounds like there's people having full-fledged conversations upstairs, and you go upstairs and sure enough, it's empty. So you get a lot of that. And it's really cool because there's nothing negative there. And it's just, so I mean, yeah, it kind of creeps you out a little bit. And I think no matter who you are, but at the same time, it's really kind of exciting when you hear that.
When you were talking about the apparition you saw, what did you see? Was it a man, woman?
So it I couldn't tell. I'm going to say it was probably a male because it was a lot taller, but it was almost like a white fog. It was transparent. It wasn't like because I've seen things in the past, not necessarily at the Bell, but where you think you see something in your peripheral or a person and you look over and it's gone. This I was actually looking straight at, and it was just like a really tall, transparent white fog that had human form, but I couldn't really tell much more than that. And it was moving very quickly toward that door.
And that was after you had stopped the recording for the night. You're all kind of regrouping, and then that happens. So you just never
all
know.
All the equipment's put up, you know, everybody's just kind of winding down. And then, you know, we all of a sudden start experiencing all this. It's almost like the spirits do that on purpose. They wait till you're all done and then they're going to come out and, you know.
You know, I think it's so interesting too, when you hear a child's footsteps, like a child running across a room sounds very different than a man walking or hurriedly walking across a floor. So I think it's so yes. interesting that it was so real to you that you went upstairs looking for it, even though you know mm-hmm. that you're working in a haunted mansion. But it still yeah. sounds so real that you have to go make sure there's nobody up there.
Yeah. And, you know, and as an investigator, that is the first thing you always want to do is try to debunk what you're experiencing, especially if it's something that can be easily explained. Like maybe somebody had brought in a child there that went upstairs, you know, you just never know, but it's always worth checking out just to make sure.
The teams that come in to investigate, I'm assuming they're getting a lot as well. I saw a YouTube video. I can't remember who posted it now, but they said it was one of the most active locations they'd ever investigated. And do you hear that yeah, pretty consistently?
Yeah, pretty much. We do hear that on a consistent basis, that it's been very active for everyone. And then, you know, every once in a while, we do have people come in that say they hadn't experienced anything. But, you know, what I always tell people is whether they're typically super active or not, when it comes to spirits or what, you know, whatever you want to call them, they're not circus animals. Mm-hmm. So whenever I start to lead a tour, I let everyone know everyone is going to have a different experience here and everyone will take something away that's different from the person next to them. You know, and a lot of these spirits were human at one point. And if you think about us, there's some days that we feel really social and we feel like being a social butterfly and communicating with others. And then there's days we wake up and we don't really feel like talking or being around people, or we're just a little bit more quiet that day. And again, like reminding people, these were people too. So why shouldn't they be able to carry on some of that residual human emotion with them and also have those same moods? And then another kind of more funny comparison to get people laughing as I say, okay, so what if you were just hanging out in your house and all of a sudden 12 people come busting in there telling you to knock on stuff and yell and turn this light on and off and, you know, and then everybody kind of laughs a little bit. And I'm like, you'd either be humored by it and do it, or you'd probably be angry, or you'd probably just say, no, I'm not doing that. You know,
right. So
it's kind of, I think it definitely depends on the group and the energy and also the mood overall between both the people there to investigate and also the spirits. It just, I think it just all depends. It all varies.
And I think that so often too, our own, just like in real life, like you were saying, you know, they were humans, they were people at one point, just like you and I could meet someone and go, I got a bad vibe off that guy. I yeah. think, you know, the same with them, that there's just people who come in and they're negative or they're dark, or it's like, I don't want to mm-hmm. interact with that. So I can understand that. It makes sense to me. And then randomly, yeah, when you're done really. For done recording for the night, that's when stuff could happen, you know? Just goes to show you can never really pack it up and leave.
You know, you always have to have something to continue running just in case.
So what are some of the best stories that you've heard about the building as far as the paranormal activity?
Some of the best stories. A lot of them is with Andy. A lot of people have a lot of connections with Andy, the child spirit upstairs. The servant's bedroom upstairs, there's a woman by the name of Maria that a lot of people make contact with. And it's just, to me, I think it's neat. There's no really particular story that'll set it apart. It's just the fact that it's so consistent.
Yes.
And that just shows there's a lot of energy there. People have reported to see the apparition of who they believe would be Robert. And I think that's pretty cool because you do hear of him, you know, still kind of lingering. And there's actually this really cool carpet in what was Robert's bedroom. And we had some protective plastic over it. And the plastic was kind of more, I want to say like garbage bag material. So you could hear it when you would walk on it or shuffle across it. And a lot of people would report hearing shuffling back and forth across that plastic, like somebody was pacing. It's just the constant, I mean, it's just the constant feedback we get from people that they're having all of these really cool experiences in there.
One thing that surprised me when I, and so I always have to clarify and make sure that what I read is true, because after all, internet, since it was used as a funeral home for 90 plus years, that there is still the embalming room set up there, which is creepy. But then, you know, that's just, death is part of life and people need to be prepared to for burial or cremation. So I understand it. And my dad was a funeral director and an embalmer. So I shouldn't be ever creeped out by that. But part of me does find it a little bit creepy that it's still there. And I don't know why.
It is kind of creepy though. It really is. It's definitely it's a fan favorite. People love to check it out, which, you know, rightfully so. But so there was actually two embalming rooms, which the first one was before the addition in 1935. And it was this tiny, tiny bedroom, or well, it wasn't a bedroom. It was actually the original servant's kitchen back in the, you know, when it was a residence. And after it became the funeral home, they started using that room as the embalming room. And it was a pretty small room. And after they did the addition in 1935, they had the larger embalming room across the hall, which did the remainder of the embalming throughout the years. But there's an estimated of 300,000 to 600,000 bodies that had been in and out of that place. So it's been a high traffic facility for a long time. So yeah, when you go in that embalming room and you really sit and think about that, all of the people that had been in and out of that room, it is a little unsettling. And it's just kind of leaves you with a weird feeling. Nothing, you know, negative, but it just kind of, you tackle your own mortality when you think about things like that.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation about the Bell Mansion. You can get more information about the Bell Mansion at their website, thebellmansion.com, or visit their Facebook page. Just search Bell Mansion LLC. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, you can become a gravekeeper. You can sign up on Apple Podcasts, and you can also sign up on patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.